All right, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 is the context of what we're going to look at briefly. I'm going to try to do this in 10 minutes, but I don't know. The subject is working wisely. And I want you to look at Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 11. We'll read that. I want you to notice that Solomon here is addressing a sluggard, not just a tired man or merely a tired person. The issue here is the refusal, the delay, the excuses, and just pure neglect in life. That's what a sluggard is. Again, if you look at the text here, we'll look at its refusal, its delay, its excuses, and it's just neglect all throughout their life. And in the context, nature becomes our teacher, the ant. So watch the verses here. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. First idea that I note here is that wisdom learns from creation. When the Bible says, go to the ant, consider her ways and be wise. Have you guys ever watched ants? Honeybees? I mean, you watch certain elements of creation. Have you ever noticed what just simply doesn't distract them? Well, they get pretty mad if you try to distract them, but try that. Cover up their ant holes, whatever, and they'll just go right back to work. They open it back up, and they just keep going. Again, some of the things you might note with this text is that we have to observe in order to be wise. Again, we're talking about working wisely. Are you paying attention? I say that a lot. So one of the things that I note here is that the ant takes initiative. There's no captain or overseer or ruler. Did you catch that in the text? The ant has no overseer, ruler. The ant simply is doing its job without distraction. Proverbs 10:4 says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. That's interesting. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. A wise worker here does not wait to be chased. He sees what needs to be done and he gets after it. We call them doers in society. In job situations I've worked, you can always tell the person who's not very profitable. They're standing around doing nothing. Not just taking initiative and going to get the job done. Another thing you'll note in this Proverbs, working wisely, is that there's a foresight here. In verse 8, the ant provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. So the ant's working is, again, with foresight. It's always considering the cycles. In one sense, the ant's a lot smarter than you and me because the ant doesn't argue with creation. We have growing seasons. What doesn't grow in the wintertime? Well, look at your trees. Look at your grasses. So if you have livestock and cattle, what do you do in the wintertime because there is no grass? You'd better have stored up some hay or some feed, and you have to feed them through the wintertime, or they'll starve to death. So that takes foresight. Creation teaches us something here again, and we can see that. Proverbs 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. A prudent man sees the evil. So again, a slugger is only going to live for the moment, but this ant is again foreseeing the events of reality, creation, time. It's going to be winter time. I better start getting some food gathered up and get it in the hole because it's going to be cold. You know, in that sense, they're really smart too. You know, they just go underground and get warm, and we like to go out and go snow skiing. What's that all about? Anyway, All right. Another thing, too, is this. You'll notice with the ant, there's the idea of orderly diligence. Again, the ant's not frantic. It's very purposeful in its life, her life. And she's watching the seasons. And so it's timely activity. I think it's interesting that Joseph, a wise man in Genesis 41, a man who's been sold into slavery by his own family and his kin, but he sees his opportunity, and there's 7 years of famine coming upon Egypt. And he's the man with wisdom, of course, from above, from God, but he had enough sense to prepare Egypt for the 7 years of famine for the 7 years of plenty first. And so he sets in place a governmental protocol. We might call it a temporary system of welfare to save Egypt and the surrounding nations. And in fact, if you'll remember in Genesis 41, it has an impact and an effect on his own family in Israel, who are also a part of the famine, and they're going, we got to get some food. And guess where there's food? We go to Egypt, we can get some food. And so that wisdom is important. Orderly diligence, paying attention. Another aspect in this idea of working wisely, if you'll notice in verses 9 and 10, laziness usually comes in small compromises. What does it say about sleep and slumber? A little sleep, right? A little slumber. You have these small compromises. Same Solomon knew how to turn to the ant and then look to a sluggard directly and say, well, how long are you going to slumber? And the comparison, again, is to those who were just simply lazy or sluggards. Again, the key phrase is a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. It starts with small things. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I look forward to a weekend. I actually kind of live for them sometimes. How many of you live for the weekends? Okay, I get it. And you want to sleep in a little bit, don't you? Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with that, but don't let that become your idol, because that's not reality. Okay? It's good to have a little break, and I agree to that. But at the same time, we're here to work. And so we have to understand that. So look at Proverbs 13:4. Again, Proverbs 13:4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Proverbs 19:15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs 20:4, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. So again, the sluggard often has a lot of reasons for his poverty. If you'll listen to those, again, carefully, pay attention. You can listen to why they're in the conditions they're in. Listen to them talk. Now, our job as Christians are to, again, help people get out of that situation, not to just beat them up when they are actually admitting why they're in the conditions they're in. But at the same time, we have to think about this. All right, another point and final point. Again, this neglect will bring very certain consequences. Notice verse 11 in Proverbs 6. So shall your poverty come. So with this being considered, he is describing, Solomon that is, poverty coming like a prowler, like an armed man. Again, it's something that you can imagine, you can see. It has certain consequences. The sluggard, again, is thinking nothing's happening. While he sleeps, I think about this a lot. I don't know how many of you sleep kind of with anxiousness, and sometimes I go to sleep and I feel like I'm losing my control. And I wake up because I got to grab back control of my emotions and my thoughts, and I feel like I'm going to sleep, and I'm crashing, and I start to get really comfortable, and I guess it's a laziness, and I wake up, and I'm like, all right, got to wake up now. I do that a lot. I don't know about you. Maybe it's just because there's a lot going on up here or something. But nonetheless, I sure do like it when I can sleep through the night. But I know what it is. The older I've gotten, I realize it's me waking up because I'm afraid I'm not going to be organized. I'm not going to be ready for the day. And then I can't wait for the 5 o'clock, 5:30 bell to ring. Sometimes it's 4, 4:30. And the first thing I look forward to is what? No, a cup of coffee. And so those are my little triggers of comfort that I, but there are things that I do that I've figured out. So again, we want to realize that this doesn't, again, got to be careful. Got to stay vigilant. Proverbs 24, 33 through 34, and I'm winding it up here, repeats the warning here almost word for word that we've been talking about the slothful man, the sluggard. But look at Proverbs 18, verse 9. He who is slothful, Proverbs 18, 9. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Again, that's pretty strong language. Laziness destroys things. It destroys opportunities. It destroys provisions, trust, influence, usefulness. And so remember a couple of New Testament passages as we close out. Romans 12, 11. Romans 12, 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Think about how much that's advantageous in Christianity. If we are lagging in our diligence, if we're apathetic, why would anybody want to be a Christian? Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Circumspectly, being wisely, being able to, again, with a circumspect view, your perspective. Look out in front of you and take your hands here and see how far out you can see your hands until they disappear. That's circumspect viewing. That's being able to see. You ever wonder why a horse's eyes are kind of where they're at? Because you know what a horse can see? God built them this way. They can see backwards because they're watching for predators that are going to attack them. That's why their eyes are set where they're at. God created them that way, and that's why they're always kind of skittish. Horses are naturally kind of skittish like domestic cats. They're just a naturally skittish because they're prey animals. And their ears will pin back or pin forward. You watch them, and again, that's because they're paying attention. That's why they're smart, too, and you can train them and do a lot of amazing things. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Paul said to the Thessalonians, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So again, you have to work. And then finally, Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So Jesus said, John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Work wisely. Look to the ant. Learn from creation. Pay attention. Remember, laziness comes in small compromises. And neglect brings certain consequences in your life. Now, brethren, I'll say this, and the lesson will be yours. But I can be an anxious person because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to lose. I'm afraid I'm going to fail. And because I don't want to fail and I don't want to lose, I try to turn my anxiousness into action. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Because I know that that's where my rewards are. That's what satisfies me. And I too, like you maybe, I fall into spells of laziness. And I'll tell you, every time I do that, I'm not saying you can't rest, boys, and can't get a little sleep. I'm not saying you can't do that, but you can't let that be the barometer of your peace. The barometer of my peace is my action in Christ. Is me getting out of bed and going to work, suffering through the days like you do, sometimes loathing the jobs that we have to do, but always knowing that when I complete the task, I've done my duty. And I've learned something at 52. It never ends. And it never will end. Because the Apostle Paul said, be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee the crown. So be thou faithful unto death. Do not be lazy. Do not be a sluggard. Work wisely. Learn from the ant. And know that God will bless you. If you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the first step, the first great step, the first and most important step of your life is to do that. To make your mind up, it starts there, that this is the right way to live. Be ready now to confess Christ because you've made your mind up to change, repent of your actions, and to again be obedient, be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, where the blood of Christ will be contacted because you believe in the Son of God. You know that He's the Son of God. You know that He died on a cross for you. And when you make your mind up to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're buried with Him in baptism. You'll arise to walk in a newness of life, and now you'll live out your lives, and you'll look to the ant and all these great examples in the Bible and characters of faith, ultimately Christ, and know why you're now called a Christian. But please don't wear that name Christian and ever think you can get by being idle, and God would ever be pleased with that. If we can help you make better decisions in your life, then we're here to help you do that. If you need to respond to the invitation and obey the gospel, then why don't you let us know right now as together we stand and we sing.